You're listening to SBS News.
The mayor of Kyiv, Vitali Klitschko, says there was once a sculpture in the park that symbolized the friendship between Russia and Ukraine. He says it is now meaningless.
How can we talk about friendship when Russia is attacking us, waging a campaign of ethnic cleansing against the Ukrainian people, destroying the Ukrainian people and Ukrainian cities?
A vote is now being held in the Kyiv City Council to remove any Russian traces from the names of streets, avenues and subways in the capital. In Odessa, Ukrainian workers have already removed five tablets with the names of Russian cities near the city mayor's office. There are also military developments that Ukraine is chalking up as a victory. This week, a major Russian missile cruiser reportedly sank during a storm as it was being towed for repairs. Ukrainian officials say their forces hit the Black Sea missile cruiser, while Russian authorities maintain that a fire on board was the cause. Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby says what happened to the ship remains unclear.
We cannot confirm the Ukrainian reports that it was hit by a missile, but we are also not in a position to refute that. That it could have been a Ukrainian missile which struck the ship. We just don't have perfect visibility on exactly what happened. We do assess that at least some of the crew members evacuated the ship and were placed aboard other Russian Navy ships.
The loss of the missile cruiser would be a major military setback for Russian forces. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says it would also be a devastating symbolic defeat for the Kremlin as its troops regroup for a renewed offensive in eastern Ukraine after retreating from much of the north.
This is their flagship, the Moscow, and they have now been forced to admit that it has been badly damaged and they've had to kind of choose between two stories. One story is that it was just incompetence, and the other was that they came under attack, and neither is a particularly good outcome for them.
Jake Sullivan says they've continued to work with Ukraine on building up the nation's weapons capabilities so they're ready on the eastern battlefront.
We go through everything that we can acquire from our own holdings, everything that we can get our allies and partners to give. We put all that together and we organize the logistics of delivering it. And the $800 million that we announced yesterday was everything that we could muster in a reasonable time frame to get to the Ukrainians so that they will have those systems ready to use for the coming battle in the east.
While the main attention of Russian forces has shifted away from the capital of Kyiv, the port city of Mariupol has remained under constant siege. Some citizens continue to go outside despite the sound of fighting, collecting branches from trees which have fallen in the shelling and using them to cook on open fires. Most of the buildings of the historical centre were built in Tsarist times and weren't damaged during the two world wars, but they have been now. Much of Mariupol's historical centre has been almost fully destroyed. But most grimly, the bodies of killed locals remain in the streets. This man, Mikhail, was in the city when fighting began again.
We came to see our daughter, and it started. We got in a basement, but my wife can barely walk. I hardly pulled her out of there. We effing live in a garage. I'm trying to get her out of here.
Aid workers say the situation is increasingly grim as the fluid nature of the conflict has made it especially difficult to provide food aid. David Beasley is the executive director of the United Nations World Food Programme.
I don't know of anything that's happening good inside Mariupol. We can't reach the people. We have demanded that we be given the access. We have not been given the access. We will continue to do everything we can to reach those people, and we'll keep fighting for them. That's all we can do, and we will not give up on the people in Mariupol and other people that we cannot reach. But it's a devastating situation. The people are being starved to death.
As allegations of atrocities against civilians in Ukraine have persisted, Irina Venikhtova, Ukraine's general prosecutor, has met for a briefing with the International Criminal Court. She says her country wants justice.
At first, we need to find concrete evidences with concrete people and to go to the courts, understand that we have excellent prosecution act, because we want to do everything by rule of law and under norms of international humanitarian law.
The Ukraine prosecutor says the process will not be a speedy one.
We all understand that the process of criminal procedures for starting to collect all evidence when we're still in the war, actually. When we have huge number of cases, it's not so fast case and it's not so simple.
International Criminal Court prosecutor Karim Khan says the investigation will study all the evidence, though he has stressed it must be done with some urgency as the war continues. He says the tribunal intends to review everything objectively.
I won't accept from any NGO or even from the Ukrainian government or authorities, even from the Prosecutor General, any evidence uncritically. We will review everything to make sure that we have it right and the evidence we review is reliable and is authentic.
Deborah Grok, SBS News.